In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of for the repose of the soul of Bernadette Madrid, who we buried from our parish a little bit earlier this month, or last month, I should say. Remember that at this time, time is very precious for you and me as we're journeying into this last few moments of Passiontide before we enter into Holy Week. On the morrow, tomorrow, I will be in Santa Fe with the Archbishop and all the priests, and apparently many of our deacons as well, who are going to be having the Chrism Mass, where the Mass at which all the oils which will be used within the Church of the Archdiocese of Santa Fe will be consecrated at that time, and we will retrieve those. But also, that's the moment where all the deacons and the priests once again renew their pledge of obedience to the bishop. A very beautiful Mass. If you've never been, it's a great thing to do so. And since they didn't send out any tickets, I guess that means that you can come just if you want to. I don't know what time the Mass starts. 5:30. Yeah, I just know that I'm there the whole day, so it just happens. But if you'd like to come up for that, it's a glorious thing to witness there with our Archbishop. Today, what our Lord places before you and me is two questions. One is, what is it that befits a real disciple, somebody who follows Christ? What are disciples supposed to do with their lives? But also, drawing on what would be read in tomorrow's gospel as well, he reminds you and me of life and of death that he puts before us, the choice of life and the choice of death. And so what is it? What is it then that disciples are indeed called to do? What is it that we're called to be? I'm reminded of a moment when I, maybe some of you all have been as well, gone to the camp of Auschwitz. And above the gate, there's that German phrase that goes above it. It's an eerie phrase which is there. It says, Arbeit macht frei, which is that to say that the truth will set you free. That those who are in here have to abide by that. It is something that is hard for you and I to look down upon and to see that that in any way is the exact opposite of what you get in that time. When you enter through those gates in Auschwitz, all you know is that those who went in were not free, and they did not, the work that they did not bring about freedom, but rather it only brought about greater extent into death. And so when you get to those moments, you have to muster up a sense of courage in to be able to step through those doors, to enter into that camp there. But when you go through and snake through all the horrors, which they turned it into a museum there, and the eerie sense that you get, there's one place of grace. That's the place that I've spent on my two journeys there, the most time there. In fact, probably spent more time there than most other people in the world have, because I didn't go with a tour, just went to the things that we knew that were most important. And when you find your way to the end of the barracks, you'll find one particular cell. There are starvation bunkers which are there. And they have preserved there one starvation bunker, which is that one in which Maximin Kolbe, my patron saint, passed his last few moments in this life within that bunker before offering his hand for the carbolic acid. It was at that time, in that place, where Maximin Kolbe encouraged those who were around him, encouraged them with songs, encouraged them with words of life, encouraged them with strength in those moments to go forward, to really be disciples for Christ in this most decisive moment of their life, even if they have never been up to that point in their life. Now was the decisive moment to put their trust in him who brings about real freedom, who worked for them the decisive act of freedom which we are beginning to celebrate in these strong days. It was St. Maximin Kolbe who wrote one time in one of his articles in The Night, these great publications that he would do, he said, no one in the world can change the truth. No one in the world can change the truth. We can and should do, what we can and should do is to seek the truth and to serve it once you and I have found it. That's your life and mine. That's what real disciples do. We don't seek to change the truth or change the teachings of the church or change what the Lord has given for us. We don't change one jot, one tittle, one little bit of what is set before us, as so many seek to do in these times, to deny what God has given and to change it, to update it, to make it something that speaks to men and women of our times in this way. The truth doesn't need updating, does it? Because who is the truth? None other than Jesus Christ himself, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one is able to come to the Father unless he come through me. And so our Lord speaks it there. What is the cost of discipleship? What is the goal of discipleship in you and me? It is not to do nothing, not to seek to change it in any way, but rather that you and I can and should do. The only thing is to seek the truth, to pursue the truth, to run after the truth. Whenever we find it, wherever we find he who is there, to pursue him, to pursue him, to pursue him. And that's what you do during these times, and that's what we do in these days when we spend our time on our knees before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to seek him. And when we find him, all we do is serve him. That's it. That's all that remains for you and me in the moment which we begin to lay hold of it, even in little and little ways and growing ways as we spend more and more of our days with the Lord and listening to Him. Our blessed Lord asked disciples to continue in the Word and to know truth. That is really to know Him and His very being, no matter what it may cost you and me. But what a lot of what goes on within the world is that question of eternal life or eternal death. And so many people within this world give themselves to an atheism, to profess that there is no God. And one requires a whole lot of mental energy within themselves to be able to put God altogether out of their lives. You have to exert an immense amount of energy, particularly in Western culture, to fool yourself into saying that God cannot exist. But we see that so often, that so many people say the things like, I'm spiritual but not religious. That I want to have a feeling that wells up within my soul and to do and pursue good in according to my own way, to imagine in that way, but then to not actually hold myself to any sort of standard which is set out outside of me. It's the great sin of Satan, where he fell from heaven choosing his way rather than God's, and the great sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, saying, I will be the ones who determine truth for my life, and only I will do it. And what this does is this they mean to do by some instincts for the divine. They imagine that God makes no difference within their lives. And so they seek to make a difference in their own. And what Lent does for you and me, and particularly these few days that you and I have still left in this Passion time before we enter into Holy Week, Semana Santa, which is coming on for us, is it holds us an opportunity to reflect upon the place of our Lord within our lives. It wouldn't make any sense to exclude God exercising any sort of influence upon our lives. Do we owe nothing, it is, within ourselves to the one who created us? Or can we, in some sort of way, ignore the reality of who God is, who sustains the world and its very existence? Can we choose within our own lives to fill it up with the vacations that we're going to next, or to fill it up with the hobbies or the other diversions that we do and neglect God as He seeks to insert Himself into our lives, constantly seeking to seek you and I out, even if we don't seek Him out? What our Lord puts before Himself within those who challenge Him within this longer sense of the gospel that spans these few days that we have Him given to us by our church is He tells those who seek Him, that He just says over and over again, I am. I am. And you'll hear that again on Sunday. He'll say, I am, a few times. And the power that it goes there, claiming Himself in truth to be the I am of God. And when He does so, those who hear Him immediately reject that claim. Because that claim means that if he is truly the I am, then somehow their power over their lives, their priorities have to change in this way. And that's why the gospel says at the end of this passage that they were ready to pick up stones in order to end Him there. But He slipped through their midst because His hour had not yet come. What a sad turn of events that would be. To be there with truth Himself, staring you in the face, declaring Himself to be there, and in that wild anger to reject Him in that way. What Christ, all He wants to do for you and me is to fill your life and mine. To fill it beyond where you and I can see or hold or even imagine. He wants us to fill us not with sorrows or with difficulties. He doesn't want to fill us even with natural pleasures and graces which you and I know fall through our fingers like the sands of time. He wants to fill us with His very self, which only grows as you and I begin to open more and more room within ourselves to receive Him. So before you and I is placed that very question, do we choose the way of life or do we choose the way of death? Do we choose to open ourselves more and more to Him in this Passion time or do we say, not yet, Lord? Do we say, Lord, I want You to fill up every aspect of my life just a little bit more. Please point to me those ways that I don't and help me to loosen my grip on those things so that You can more and more feel that. I want to receive You more into my life. Unlike those who on Sunday will go through, will praise Him and then ask Him to be excluded from their existence, excluded from their lives. Our Lord places these questions before you and me. And the only way forward for you and I is to entertain Him just as He is, not seeking to change His truth or alter His truth or shade His truth in any sort of way, but to accept Him just in the full light of who He is, which often means, always means, that something about me has to go away, those things which do not choose what is true life. And thereby to continually pursue Him, examining my own soul, as the psalmist says, oh Lord, You search me and You know me. You know my resting and my rising. You know when I get up and when I lie down. You know me whether I am far or away. There's nowhere I can go that is away from You. Seek me, search me, and know me. And once you and I begin to find Him, then just to lay hold of Him through the service which we render Him, the service that we render Him during the season, all He asks is stay with me. follow me on the way to my passion and don't shrink back. That's the test for you and I as disciples during this time. To not shrink back from his sufferings, but to really see everything, every bit of life that he pours out for you and me. And just as excruciating as it may be, just to say yes to him. Yes, I'll stay with you at the foot of the cross. We'll talk more about that on Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.